Well, if you'll open your Bibles to Genesis, go ahead and turn to 18 and 19. Have your message outline right there. We'll actually look at 13 and some previous chapters. But on this Father's Day, guys, you know the most difficult job that you face as a dad is being a good father. Because in other roles in life, in your jobs, you can leave, you can flip a switch, you can turn things off. But with kids, with spouses, with our families, it's a full-time, nonstop, never an off switch. And so what I want to talk to us today as spiritual leaders, as being examples in the home, as being good dads to our children and husbands to our wives, is I want to look at an example out of Scripture. I want to look at Lot in Genesis 18 and 19. And as we look at Lot, as we look at the leadership in his home, you know the passage, you know the story. We're going to see that Lot made five fatal mistakes as a dad, as a father. We're going to look at those this morning. And what my hope is that we look at a bad example, model, if you will, and learn from that. And the first mistake Lot made in this passage is emphasis. Emphasis. Lot placed financial prosperity over spiritual prosperity. And so the first mistake that Lot made was way back in Genesis 13. We read it. And he placed his emphasis, his priorities on material things, if you will, business-related things, if you will, financial success of what he hoped over spiritual success. And so Lot is the nephew of Abraham. They've been going together. You know the passage. There develops a problem, particularly between their herdsmen because of the size of their flocks and the grazing. And you understand what's going on here. So they're saying, instead of us having relationship problems between our families, let's go our separate ways. So in chapter 13, where the story really begins, Lot lifts up his eyes when Abram gives him the choice, and he looks into the valleys of the Jordan, and Abraham just says, I want you to choose. You get first pick. So Lot looks around, he sees the well-watered valleys, plains of the Jordan. And in verse 11 of chapter 13 that we read earlier, it says, Lot chose for himself. Now, that's a descriptive phrase. Lot chose for himself. You could read that and just say, well, he made a decision. But what it's also saying is there is he made a decision selfishly for himself. Here was a guy that could have made a choice and said, I want to settle my family, my extended family, in the best place. But what he says is, I'm looking, and what I see is, here's the best place where I can have a business, where I can make money, where the ground is fertile, where my herds will be well watered. And so from a worldly perspective, you could say, you know what? Lot made a good decision. He was given a choice. He went the right direction. After all, Abram said, you get a choice. You pick which one you want. But what you might have thought on this side of the cross from a spiritual perspective, when you read a verse like that, Lot chose for himself, what immediately may come to mind is you might have come along Lot that day and said, now, wait a second, Lot. Have you found a church home in Sodom and Gomorrah? Have you investigated the school system? Is there a good Sunday school program for your children to attend at that church? How about other Christians? Will there be a fellowship of the saints in this territory that you're going to? Will there be some other believers that you can relationship and network with as you grow through this journey of life? But what Lot basically said is, I'm going to choose for myself, and I see a place where financially I can be successful. In fact, I am going to go all the way to the city. I'm going to go to Sodom. And the verse said that we read, and the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked. Probably not a good choice on a dad's part. But the plains are well watered, my sheep will do well, everything looks good financially from that business perspective. But what our lesson is that we as dads need to make decisions on much more than just where the job takes us, where the paycheck takes us, but there's much more involved in that. And one day, dads, you and I will answer to our Lord, and he will want to know, how were you as stewards of the wife, of the children that I blessed you with? How were you as a spiritual leader in the home? He's not going to say, let me talk to you about how you did in your career or what choices you made on the job. No, he's going to talk to us about our wives and our children and the spiritual leadership we provide or, unlike Lot, don't provide. So what kind of spiritual heritage do you give your family? Do we just basically make decisions on nuts and bolts and dollars and cents? Or what is best for our business and providing for our family? Or is there more involved? But that's what Lot did. There's a problem, there's an issue that needs to be addressed, and I am going to put financial prosperity, material goods, over the well-being, spiritual prosperity of my family. Look at the second mistake. He may have a problem with environment. He expected his family to live in Sodom, in spite of the exceedingly wicked men. Now, obviously, they were aware of this reputation. But he expected his family to live in Sodom and not be like the people of Sodom. Now, that's a pretty big expectation. He had a problem with his environment because he thought somehow, you know what, here's a good plane, here's a good-sized city, my business relations will go well there, it will go good. I can take my family down to this very wicked city. I'm going to move from Lenore to New Orleans. I'm going to move from Lenore to the Strip in Las Vegas because it's good for my business, and I don't expect there to be any negative influence on my family. This is the expectation Lot made. So in Genesis chapter 13, verse 12 and 13, Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinners against the Lord. Somehow Lot thought he could put his wife and his children in a wicked place like Sodom, and he could think this was a good business venture, and my family will not be affected by it. Because after all, I'll be there, I'll be making money, I'll be making friends, things will go well. And the environment that I put my family in, maybe Lot missed how key that is for those who serve God or turn their back on serving God. It is your responsibility, dads, to make sure the environment that you put your spouse and your children in is right, and it is a responsibility that we as dads cannot take lightly. Let me give you some quick axioms here. Where you go determines who you meet. Who you meet determines how you think. How you think determines what you do, and what you do determines what you become. There is a relationship there that you cannot avoid. Lot didn't understand that. Lot thought, I can take my family to a place like Sodom, an environment like that, and we'll just come out smelling like a rose. Look at the third mistake in your outline there, the area of expectation. Lot, perhaps, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Lot thought that maybe I can change a place like Sodom. Maybe I can make a change in the society that I'm a part of without really taking a stand against it. Maybe it'll just kind of be lifestyle evangelism. Maybe people will see the example of the life I lead, even though I don't stand up against the wickedness and talk to them about that. So Lot goes to this place. He's not going to take a stand. He's not going to tell them he serves the one true and living God. He's not going to do that. He's going to kind of intermingle with the extremely wicked men of Sodom that sinned exceedingly against the Lord. He's going to meet with them at the gates, make business decisions, political decisions. And so Lot thinks that, you know what, maybe I'll have a positive influence on this society, but I'm not going to take a stand against it. And what you know is the longer you wait to tell somebody where you stand with God, the harder it is to talk to them about the God that you serve. So Lot's got a family down in Sodom. He doesn't take a stand. He just thinks, I'll be a good old boy down here at the gate with the rest of these fellows down here. And I won't do what everybody else does, but somehow I'll be able to penetrate the society that I'm immersed in. So Genesis chapter 19, you know the story. Abraham's praying for Lot. Verse 4, the angels, these men come to the city, and this is actually one of our pre-incarnate, we believe, appearances of Christ, of our Lord, coming down with these angels. And so these men have come because they have heard of the reputation of Sodom and Gomorrah. It has come before the Lord, and they're coming to see if that is the case, because if it is, they're going to destroy it. And so the angels come. They come in, and even before that, you know, the passage with Abram, you know, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? What if there's 50 righteous people? Will you spare? Yes. What if there's 40? Yes. What if there's 30, 20? He goes all the way down to 10, 5 or 10. What if there's 5 or 10 righteous people? Yes, I'll save the city. So Abram obviously doesn't have a whole lot of confidence in the city or possibly in Lot and his family. But the angels, they come down into the city, and before they lay down, Lot invites them to his house. Before they lay down, we read in the passage, the men of Sodom surround the house, young and old. They call out to Lot, and they said to him this, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. But Lot went out to them. Now get this, he shuts the doorway behind him. He obviously doesn't want these angels, these men, these guests of his to hear this transaction that's about to take place. And so he knows how rotten these guys are outside, and he says this, please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with men. Please let me bring them out to you. Do with them whatever you like. Not an example of a good father, is it? This guy ought to be shot. Because of the Eastern hospitality ethic, I need to protect my visitors, and these men are so wicked that I'm willing to let them have their way with my virgin daughters. Unbelievable. Why God lets Lot out of Sodom, I'll never know. What grace our Father has. But in verse 9, the men's response to Lot is this, stand aside. Furthermore, they said, this one came to us as an alien, and he's already acting like a judge. They're not about to listen to Lot. They don't care what he has to say. And they're saying, here's a guy that can't even take a stand for his position or against us, and even his answer to sin is, I'll just be a part of this wicked city. I'll compromise. Maybe it won't be as bad as I've heard or look as bad. And you know what? I've got these guests, and I certainly can't allow you to do what you want to my guests. Lot makes a terrible mistake. Look at the fourth mistake in the area of example. He felt his family would accept his words instead of his lifestyle, instead of the model of his life, instead of what he had done up to that point. Verse 12 to 14. Then the men said to Lot, who else have you here? A son-in-law, your sons and your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of the place. So in other words, these men are saying, these men of God, these angels are saying, okay, anybody, Lot, that you may have influence, any of your family, we're going to get them out of the city because God's going to destroy it. So, Lot, we're giving you a chance here. We want you to talk to them. Verse 14. Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters and said, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. Notice the next verse. But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be jesting. In other words, they're cracking up. We've never heard Lot talk like this. We've never heard Lot talk about God or the things of God or God's judgment destroying the city, or that there's something wrong with this society or the people that live here. And it's the most important point in Lot's life with his family, and they're cracking up because they can't believe he's talking like this. He thought they would listen to his words over and above his example. And so, Lot, what's wrong with you? What are you talking about? Are you crazy? We've never heard this type of talk from you. And so the sons-in-laws are just saying, oh my goodness, just ignore. But when what I am and what I do as a father, when they're the same thing, when what I say and what I do as an example in my home as a spiritual leader, when they are consistent, then you get credibility. What Lot lacked was credibility because his walk didn't match his talk. And if you have credibility with your family, dads, if you can speak into their lives, you will not have children, you will not have spouses that are confused about their spiritual values or whose God you serve or where you stand with him, simply because your walk doesn't match your talk. Finally, look at mistake number 5. Entanglements. Entanglements. Lot made this mistake. He didn't realize how much the world had grabbed him. He didn't realize after this stint in Sodom how much the wickedness, the sinfulness, the evilness of the city had entangled him and his family. He didn't have a clue. It's like the story about the young man. He was all dressed up and leaving his home in the country, and one of his friends saw him leaving, walking down the road with his Bible, and he said, where are you going? He said, well, I heard about this city called New Orleans, and I hear that there's all kinds of free-flowing liquor there, and there's all kinds of gambling on every corner. There's all kinds of naughty shows that you can see. The friend was kind of surprised and looked him over, and he said, but why are you carrying your Bible under your arm? And he said, well, if it's as good as they say, I might stay over till Sunday. You see, the walk didn't match the talk. So entanglements. Lot didn't have a clue. He didn't understand how entangled, how immersed, how much he had become like Sodom. He didn't understand that his affections were now in the wrong place with the wrong people doing the wrong things. And if you'd have gone any day before that day, you'd see Lot sitting at the gate with the leaders of that society, entangled into it, locked into the values and the priorities of those people that he was a part of. And you could walk up to Lot at the gate and say, Lot, don't you see what's going on here? Don't you see what's happening? Say, no, no, no. Don't you know I'm a child of Abraham? I serve the one true and living God. We can pack up and leave here anytime we want. It's not an issue. It was an issue. In fact, say, Lot, the world doesn't have a hold on you? Look at verse 15 and 16. And when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. And in verse 16 we read, but he hesitated. Why? Because Sodom had gotten a hold of him, because he was entangled in the things of the world of this wicked society. And so the verse goes on, so the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon them, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. Lot didn't bring himself out. Lot didn't save his family. Lot didn't give up or get up and come to his senses and say, look, we need to get out of here. Lot was spiritually unable to do what needed to be done as the leader of his home. And he absolutely had to have the mercy and the grace of God, the sovereignty of the grace of God, to deliver him out of this judgment and destruction that was about to take place. Lot didn't bring himself out. They literally carried him and his family out of that place. Why? Because Lot was so entangled in the values and the culture and the society that he lived in. And when that new day dawned and the judgment was about to take place, it wasn't as easy as he thought. And maybe he began to think, you know what? It's a new day and the city isn't destroyed and it doesn't look as bad in the daylight as it does at night. And, you know, those bad things that happen, they're really only mainly in the dark. And it's pretty good here in the daytime. And I think I can hold a steady course here with my family, maybe do a little better. And every time you think of Lot's decision, I chose for myself, of his putting financial prosperity over spiritual prosperity, and he lost his friends, he lost his influence, he lost his home, his position, his ability to influence his family and do the right thing. And if you say, you know what? Maybe I'm a little entangled in the world. Maybe the world's values and culture have affected me. How do I untangle myself from the ways of the world? You see, number one, get out before you become emotionally involved. Don't lose reason. Don't lose logic. Don't do stupid things like Lot. Number two, have someone pray for you. The only reason Lot and his family were spared was because Abraham prayed for them and had a transaction with God's representatives. Three, ask God to send someone to help you get out of that mess. He couldn't get himself, his family out, so literally God had to send someone to do it. And four, allow God's grace to make the difference in your life. Now, dads, here's some lessons learned from Lot's life. You see them on your outline. Number one, a spiritual leader sees things from God's perspective. How do I know I'm a spiritual leader in my home? How do I know I'm doing the right thing, not the wrong thing? Very simple. You will more and more be gaining God's perspective, seeing things through God's eyes. Number two, build a hedge of protection around your family. Two ways to do that. First, obedience to the will and ways of God, which leads to consecration, setting yourself apart to God. And when you have those things, your walk will match your talk. Number three, a spiritual leader stands up for righteousness. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lot did not do that. Fourthly, a spiritual leader is consistent in his testimony of living. And finally, five, spiritual leader makes a conscious decision to forsake sin in his life. And that has to be a conscious decision. All of these lessons, Dad, we can learn from a bad example from Lot. So fathers, watch your step. There is a call for you. Watch your step. Little eyes see all you do. Watch your step. Little feet go daddy's ways. Follow you from day to day. Lead, oh, lead them not astray. Watch your step. Walk the safe and narrow way. Watch your step. Let the children hear you pray. Watch your step. Would you ways of wisdom teach with God's truth their young hearts reach? Then be faithful, I beseech. Heavenly Father, we thank you that something that happened so long ago on a day like this still teaches us your will and your wisdom of how we can be a good example for our spouses, for our children. May, as fathers, we learn these lessons from Lot and not go that way, because this world is exceedingly wicked in sinning against the Lord. Let us not be affected by that. And Father, we thank you that you are always reliable and that we can call upon you for help in our role and that you will work through us. We claim that promise today on this Father's Day and praise you as our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name.